Greetings in Jesus' name. I've been blessed this morning just listening to God's word being shared and things that we need to remember and learn. And I was blessed by the children's lesson and thought about controlling our emotions in anger. And it reminded me of a young man that I think maybe learned a lesson. I don't know if it stuck with him, but I was with a young man, and he had a cast on his hand. And I asked him, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I broke my hand." I was like, "Well, how'd that happen?" He's like, "I punched a wall." And it's like, oh yeah, that would be a way to learn that doesn't help very much. And I think that was the lesson today, is that when we let our emotions get away from us, it's not helpful. And I want to take those things to heart and apply them to my life. This morning, I'd like to again turn to 1 Peter and just look at the passage here. I think we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. And before we get into this chapter, maybe we can pause and just have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to be gathered together here. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to sit and stand before the preaching of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us. Show us the things that we need to learn, that we need to be reminded of. And I pray, Lord, that we would purpose to apply these things to our own lives, and that we would take them, and that we would be a shining light and a testimony for you, that our lives could bring honor and glory to your name, and that it would show others the way and bring people to yourself. Lord, we desire that you would receive all the honor and glory for this service, and we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So turning to 1 Peter chapter 3, and just like to do, again, just do a little bit of a review of some of the things that we have learned. And one of my reasons for doing that is that we would not only listen and hear, but that we would, that these things would stick in our minds, and that it would truly speak to our hearts, and that we would be reminded of these things as we go through life. Peter, I think, was teaching a people that had come to Christ, and so they're a new people trying to find their way, and he's taking the time to disciple them and to encourage them and show them how to walk through life as believers. In chapter 2, verse 9, he points out that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So a people that now is a that has come to Christ, and because of that, they're a chosen people. Verse 13 and 14, he's teaching them how to relate to governments and authorities, and that there should be that they're to submit themselves to those things. In verse 17, he's encouraging to love the brotherhood and to honor all men. In verse 18 in chapter 2, he is teaching on how to relate to as servants or slaves to their masters, and how to relate to them, whether they be good, whether they be hard to work for or easy to work for. And the reason that he's encouraging them to work for them in an honorable way is that they might show them Christ. And then in chapter 3, we see he starts speaking on the home in verse 1 that I like to remind ourselves is the first verse there. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And so he's talking here about, I think he's bringing forward some of the things that he was talking about in chapter 2. And he's saying that in the home, there should be a honor and submission. And again, I believe that he's talking about that if some may not know Christ, that it the way that we honor one another, and he's talking to wives here, that they might bring people to Christ, that they might bring their husbands to the Lord if they're not saved. And then in verse 7, we go down to verse 7, and he's talking to husbands here. And again, he starts the verse as, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Again, I believe that he is bringing some of the teachings forward from chapter 2, and that we are to live our lives in a way that reminds people, that reminds our spouse, that reminds others that we have a reason why we're doing this. And it's not the same reason that it was before we knew Christ, but that we are trying to represent Christ in our lives. And that we have a goal. Our goal is to live lives that are honorable to the Lord, and that our lives would also show others what Christ has done in my life. And perchance, others may start asking questions and want to be part of that. So with that, we come to 1 Peter chapter 3, and start in verse 8, and I'll just read 8 through 12 here for the beginning, and then come back here. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So coming back to verse 8 here, We finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So we see him, he's teaching them here about unity, compassion, sympathy, brotherly love. We, as I was pondering this verse, tender-hearted, a humble mind. Those are some of the things that I think we can pull out of this verse here. In that we be of one mind, and we strive to do that as with each other. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, I think gives us a good example of being of one mind. What that, I think it's an example of what that might look like. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so we purpose to build each other up, and we have that mind with one another. And so that's I believe what he's trying to encourage them in as new believers to be considerate of one another and let these things be alive and well in your lives. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. So, one of the things that, as we look at some of these verses and consider verse 8 here, one of the things that I think that stands out to me is a humble heart, a heart that is not thinking about myself, but thinking about my brother and my sister's needs and desires, and trying to encourage them in that. And so that's a piece that I got from that, is that we obviously, if we have a proud heart, a self-centered heart, then we're not going to be able to fulfill this verse. We're not going to see, and we're going to rather focus on my needs. Verse 9 here, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So, not to retaliate when someone means to bring harm into my life, into your life. I think we were taught on some of that encouraged in our emotions. I think this is a perfect example when someone purposes to bring harm or evil into my life or make my life hard. Or maybe I even just take it as like, well, maybe it wasn't intended that way, but I perceive it to be that way. And teaching here that not to retaliate. We heard about anger and how it is a response of the flesh. A reaction, I think, here, when we react, when someone hurts me or makes my life uncomfortable or makes my life hard, when we react in the flesh, we do what? What are some things that I want to do? I want to return the favor. I want to make their life difficult. Oh, yeah. When I'm driving down the road and I feel like someone cut me off, we want to return the favor. I've had that happen to me one time recently. I was driving along and I made someone angry. And he was being very hard on me. And I was like, I talked to him. I said, I'm sorry. He's like, it didn't matter. He was angry at me because I accidentally, at that time, I accidentally cut him off. And he was going to make me pay. That's the response of the flesh. We're beyond reason. We're just reacting to something that we didn't like, and so we allow the flesh to respond. And that's, I think, the teaching that we heard earlier, and I think is what he is teaching us here, is that those kinds of responses are not led by God's Spirit. They are my flesh saying in control. When we see someone react, in an area in life, how do we relate to that person? We often, I think, that what we do is we just dismiss that person as it's just him, it's his problem, and whether it's it's his agenda. We don't take it to heart. And so we have opportunity, I believe, when we are faced with these things, that when we want to, something does go wrong, and we want to, there's everything inside of us that wants to react to it and make a scene and make a point. But if we allow God's Spirit to guide us, and we have controlled emotions, and we have opportunity to speak truth and encourage by the way we respond. And if we don't, we are going to be dismissed and not taken seriously. The latter part of verse 9, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are there unto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So he's teaching them here that you're supposed to do something totally different. Take these opportunities and speak blessing. How do we do that? Obviously, I can't listen to what my flesh wants, because when the unexpected happens to me, my flesh rises up and wants to have its way. So we are encouraged here to bring blessing, share something that will bring hope into the situation. Pray for them. So that's what he's encouraging here. Going down to verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Refrain. Saying to hold back from doing the things that I feel like would be fair or are deserved, to stop your tongue, to stop. To turn away from the evil that is in my heart, and to do what? To do good. Let him eschew evil and to do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Refrain means to hold back, to stop our tongue, turn away from evil, and instead of doing evil, we do something totally different and we minister good. Seek peace and pursue it. And it's a really good time to be reminded that the source of our life is through Jesus. Guile is spoken of here in verse 10, says not to speak any guile, and that I think means deceit, to make people believe something different than what is really going on. He's teaching us here, we're not to be deceitful or have trickery in our conversations. So as we ponder these things, what are some ways that we can analyze ourselves? Because obviously there's two different things here. He's saying to put these things away, these things that are fleshly driven, that come from within our heart. And he's saying, don't do these things, but on the contrary wise, blessings. And what are some ways that we can analyze ourselves and see, how am I doing? What's going on in my life? In conversations, I think conversations is one, like when we have disagreements, am I able to listen, or do I have to interrupt and give my opinion and defend my opinion? When I'm wrong, do I need to defend myself? Do I find myself getting in heated arguments? Am I able to receive instructions and be discipled by others? So these are, I think these are some good things to consider and to learn from and be, to see where do I stand? How am I navigating through life here? As Peter is teaching us, and he was teaching them, and also teaching us is, this is how we should live. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So turn away from evil. Avoid. Shun. Flee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says there, and if you read that verse, says flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 says flee idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 through 11 talks about the love of money and that we should flee the love of money. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Peter is teaching here that we're to turn away from the things that are evil, from forms of evil. And not only are we to turn away from them, but we're to replace them with something much different. And it's not our own righteousness, but it's something that is the Lord is doing in our lives. And when we go back to chapter 2 and we see what Peter is teaching there and how people are to respond to authorities and to the slaves were to respond to the masters. And as a human being, our nature is, well, if I don't get caught, then I'm doing good. And so therefore, it's okay. If my master is unkind, then I give just as much as I have to, and none more, because after all, he doesn't deserve it. And those are some of the thoughts that we have as we navigate through that. But Peter is teaching not to do that. And our reason for not to do those things is much greater. It's because we are now in Christ and we want to show them Jesus. And those are the opportunities that we have as we navigate through life in those situations. And he's also teaching us here in chapter 3 that when we're faced with things that are not good is, and when we are experiencing evil, that we're to turn away from those things and replace it with something that is totally opposite, and to show them life and the love of living and the peace that we have, and to seek that in these types of relationships. Seek peace and pursue it. Live a holy and righteous life and embrace it and believe it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we have a promise here in verse 12 that the eyes of the Lord are over those that are righteous, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, what is Peter talking about? We were reminded earlier of what the evil things were. He mentioned the tongue. We're to control our tongue. We're not to deceive others with smooth words. We're to turn away from evil and all forms of lust, fornication, idolatry, love of money. And so we do well to, as we look at this, think we do well to analyze my life and our lives. And how am I doing? Am I, as I face circumstances, am I walking the way that God would have me to walk? Or are those incidents bringing out, oh, I saw Emmanuel. He has a problem. Or are people saying, wow, the Lord is working through him? Those are good things to analyze and think about. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, it encourages us that if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. And so I think that's what Peter is teaching here and encouraging us is let's, yeah, we're also in the one, we're to put those things away and to embrace godly living. And it's something that I believe we continually need to analyze, and when we fail, we need to repent of those things and allow the Lord to replace that heart and invite God to guide us. In closing, as we just consider those things, I just like to read starting in verse 13 here and just get the encouragement that we can receive here from Peter through the end of the chapter. And starting in verse 13, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And as we just ponder these things, in closing, the reminder that I want to leave with us is that Jesus is on our side, and he is wanting us to, he has started a good work, and we are a precious people in God's eyes, and he wants to accomplish his work that he has started in our lives, and he wants to use us to show his love to others. May God bless you.